Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Just 39 minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Hall Show, powered by Chevron. Joining us now on a First Advantage hotline, we haven't caught up with this guy in a couple of weeks. It's been a very busy few months for Eric. We'll get into that in a moment. But Eric Lacroix, former Av, of course, contributor now at DNVR Avs. Love catching up with him, talking hockey, all that. Eric Lacroix joining us on the program. Eric, my man, thanks so much for giving us some time.
My pleasure. Sunny day in Colorado. I'm loving it.
It is. Yeah, it's been really cold the last couple of days, so getting a change of pace heading into the weekend, not bad. But hey, Eric, I was reading earlier in the week your piece at NHL.com and talking about, of course, your father and Pierre Lacroix getting into his rightful spot in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I know you were doing all of that stuff with the festivities, the Hall of Fame stuff the last couple of months going into it. Just how special has the last stretch of weeks and months been for you and your entire family?
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. The Hall of Fame does such a special weekend, and they make sure that, you know, obviously leading up to it, they take care of Kelly Massey and her group are just absolutely fantastic. And it was fun. It was fun to see family members and my dad's brother, sister, you know, people I haven't seen in a few years, especially with COVID, you know, with the border being blocked for a few years. And you know, it was kind of nice. It was a great tribute. It was fun. Great to see old friends, old Avs friends, old hockey friends, old, you know, family friends. We sure had a great time. Well-deserved honor. Wish he would have been there, obviously, in person. And but you know what? We split the duties, and we had fun. And we, you know, we kind of, you know, I did the ring ceremony. Max did the speech, my son. My mom did the ceremonial puck drop for the, you know, the Leafs versus Flames game that Friday. So we kind of split the duties where, you know, usually the inductee does. But it was great. It was great meeting the other inductees. It was great people, obviously all well-deserved. And it was a special weekend.
It's your special weekend for sure. I can't even imagine, and I'm sure there's just so many emotions. Obviously, joy for what this is. I mean, we're talking the Hall of Fame, like the greatest hockey figures in the world, and there he is now in that Hall of Fame. It had to be so emotional. So many different emotions that you and your family were experiencing, and friends, close friends, people involved. It had to be quite the surreal moment for you guys.
It was, and like you said, it's a big honor. It's very again, well deserved by everybody, but it was fun because it makes it real. You know, yeah. When you're in it, you're there, you're walking around the hall itself. It's such a special, beautiful place. I don't know if people have been there, but in Toronto there, if you have a chance to go, you know, it's very unique. It's very special. I would say that people say it's the best of all sports, so I believe it because I haven't really seen all the other ones, but I can tell you for a fact that, you know, this one is a very well-done place and a place you can spend a couple days at, actually, and even little kids, there's interactive stuff, and of course, like, you know, the history that's in there is kind of amazing, and the people that run it, you know, are just first class, and it's fun because you get phone calls from guys that are, you know, are in there telling you, hey, listen, welcome, and you know, of course, I'm not a Hall of Famer, but I'm saying, you know, to your dad, and which was nice, and you get some special phone calls, and you kind of feel good about it in a sense that it is pretty touching, and some that he would have enjoyed, and obviously never looked for the limelight, but I think the light would have shined bright on him that day, and I think he would have been fine with it.
Eric Lacroix joining us. Very well said, my friend. And again, I love what you had to write. That I saw, you know, I think it was early last month, what was published via NHL.com. So well done by you. Well said, well written. You and your entire family, man. Just you did this. You did your father such an honor. The NHL such an honor. So just well done, man.
Thank you.
Eric,
much appreciated.
Eric, let's get it. Hey, let's talk about some Avs. When you talk about Mount Rushmore, you know, we're talking about when we say some of the great executives, leaders, and all of that. Well, obviously, we go with Pierre Lacroix. He's right there. He's one of those names. That was the beginning, this great franchise, this Avalanche franchise. Now we're seeing another team rocking and rolling. It was just a year and a half removed from winning that third Stanley Cup. The last two games or so, I would say, Eric, man, starting to look like this team is rounding into shape. The Calgary game was interesting, being down by two goals headed into the third and then scoring three to ultimately win. And then the Buffalo game, you kind of controlled that one throughout. So two different games, but you're still kind of getting the end result where maybe the Avs team is feeling really good about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm a big fan, and the way I kind of see it is, they have such firepower, and it's hard to play 60 minutes at that level of craziness. I call that craziness because McKinnon is an absolute savage. He's on a different planet. And obviously been for like 2-3 weeks, getting points before, but right now he's just like, it's so dominant. There's only... And then Rantanen fell asleep for a bit, right? I mean, he'd be the first one to tell you that, you know, his game wasn't on point. And, yeah, he's getting some points here and there. But, you know, look at that, like you said, the last 8 minutes of the Calgary game. Those are 8 minutes of pure dominance that not a lot of teams in the league can do. Forget about sustaining it. No teams can sustain that. I don't care who you are. You know, like, you can't sustain that. They're too good. They're too powerful. They're too elite in their execution. And the level of talent is so high that it's tough to defend. So, and then they win a lot of games in those 7, 8, 9 minutes. You know what I mean? And, oh, why can they play like that for 60? It's impossible. It just is. You know, first of all, there's another team on the ice. So usually are trying to stop you, but when they do find that groove and that level there, it's pretty amazing. And then they did it again the first, whatever, 8 minutes or whatever it was, the first period against Buffalo, where absolute dominance. And, you know, they don't give up a shot on goal till the last, whatever it was, minute of the period. And they score another three goals there, bang, bang, bang. And if you look at the score, yeah, 5-1 against Buffalo. Second period was more like, you know, whatever, pretty even, more dominated by Buffalo. But they won the game in those 7 to 8 minutes. So if they can do that, and they can do that on a regular basis, they did that at the start of the year, those 7-8 games in a row that they won. That's how they won games. And when they strike often. And it's pretty demoralizing if you're a team, because there's not much you can do to stop, like I said, a savage like McKinnon or a moose like, you know, Rantanen. And then again, I always say it, Makar, when he's on, he had a stretch of like 3 games where he was probably below average, obviously, for his level. But then I would say the last couple of games he was back on track and awesome to watch.
I think that third period against the Flames was that one where you looked at it and go, this is that Avs team. This is the one that's going to go on and do some big things. Because you're right, the way they were scoring goals, they were so aggressive in that third. They carried it right over into that Buffalo game in that first period. I mean, their shots on goal versus the Sabres shots on goal, well, the discrepancy was insane until like the last 2 minutes of that period. Second was weird, but you still win 5-1. So that's kind of that example of carrying momentum from one game to the next.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why they're special. They're a special team, and that's why they won a year and a half ago. And that's the way they're built. They're built with that firepower. This is not the Seattle Kraken. No offense to the Kraken. They're built differently, the Kraken, right? They're going to, you know, grind you out four lines. And as we saw in the playoffs last year, take space away and, you know, kind of muck it up and try to beat you down the trenches. And now the Avs are different. The Avs are electrifying. These activate, they jump in the play. I mean, that's why every year they lead or close to, goals or points by defensemen, because their Ds are so entrenched in their offense, and that's what makes them so powerful. And you have to, when you have a car, I say, like, you know, like Ferraris, so to speak, you know, and Rantanen and and McKinnon, you've got to be able to feed the right stuff for them. You know what I mean? And that's why it's such a great connection with Makar back there and Taze and Bo Byron and guys that can, and Sammy G, obviously, that's not there right now, but guys that can quickly turn the puck over, put it up on their stick, and then off they go, and then they're right back at the offense, and which is very tough. And if you have a transition team in the NHL, you're tough to stop.
Eric, always love talking a little hockey with you, man. The Avs back at it tomorrow night against Winnipeg, so looking forward to that. See if they can make it, what, 3 in a row here. So, Eric, always appreciate you. I know the Grit getting back at home next weekend, right? So I know folks are really having a lot of fun following this team all year.
Yeah, for sure. Next week, and then they got a couple weekends in a row with some home games and exciting NHL hockey. And they lost last night in Shreveport. They play again tonight in Shreveport, and then they make the milk run back tomorrow. But great holiday season for those kids, and they'll be ready to play. It's always fun times at the ice house there with the electric atmosphere in there.
Yeah, a lot of great hockey happening in the state of Colorado. Eric, my man, appreciate you so much, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Eric Lacroix, 12:50 the time. I wanted to spend a little bit of time with him and talk about that, because that's kind of where he was. He's been off and on doing things with that Hall of Fame. And, you know, Angel, it's funny. You and I do a lot of the Mount Rushmore talk about players. And if you were going to do like an executive Mount Rushmore talk, you're talking about Pat Bowlen. You know, if you want to talk, you want coaches in there too. I don't know. But you look at a guy like Pierre Lacroix, who died back in 2020. I mean, he was the guy that was responsible for bringing Patrick Waugh here. He was the guy responsible for bringing Ray Bourque. I know that was such a great story. Rob Blake, those guys. I mean, 2 Stanley Cups for him. So Pierre, obviously a Hall of Famer now. There's a guy on your Mount Rushmore when you're talking about Colorado executives or figures as far as the big four teams there. 12:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
To speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.